Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beer.
Whether you tuned in from the upstate to the Midlands, all the way back to the upstate, we are happy to have you tuning in today, listening to the Yard Pro Show, because Scott, there might be a few things going on.
There may be.
Of course, it's cloudy, it's wet.
Rain.
And more rain, and more rain. I really wouldn't know, though. I hadn't been here much this week.
That's true. You haven't.
It's been a busy week.
It has. From the coast of North Carolina?
Yeah. Eastern North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, Southport in particular, and Fayetteville.
I love Southport.
Back home for a quick one-night stay and back to Atlanta to catch a flight to Dallas. That was quite interesting. Wow. Two flights. Neither one of them arrived on time. Both of them were more than over an hour late. Air travel's just become interesting, to say the least.
You should have drove.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, I nearly could have driven it for the time it took to get back. Getting there was about both ways. Supposed to land at 7:30, instead you land at 10. Coming back, you're supposed to be home at 11:30, but instead you land at 1:30.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Quick trip. But I would like to report, we're not the only people receiving rain. It was raining in Dallas. On the way to Texas A&M, their Ag Life Research Center, mm-hmm. So where they do a lot of research, is actually in Dallas. Nice new facility. I mean, just beautiful new facility. So driving out there Thursday morning, get up in the hotel, didn't get much sleep, but get up, drive out for our meeting in downtown Dallas, get off an interstate. I don't know which one. They have like 48 interstates in Dallas. I mean, I've never seen so many roads and bridges in my life.
The size of Greenville, isn't it?
Yeah. Greenville on steroids. But all of a sudden, there's sleet on the windshield. And then 4 miles down the road, it's heavy rain and thunder and lightning. Interesting weather, to say the least. Windy, cold, wet, rainy, and thunderstorms, all in the same day. Interesting, huh?
What day was that? That was Thursday morning?
That was Thursday, yeah. And no, it wasn't the weather which delayed us. It was the fact that one of the technicians servicing the plane noticed it took more than usual oil to fill the oil in the plane. And then when they spun the motors or the jet engines, excessive amounts of oil was leaking from the engine.
Yeah, time to get off.
Yeah. And they said, we think we have a mechanical issue, you think? So luckily we got a new plane. We got out several hours late. But nonetheless, it was a good trip. You know, that is, met there with Dr. Ambika Chandra, who developed TamStar. Mm-hmm. The university there at A&M, along with Kansas State, are the co-releasers of Chisholm. Some of the new grasses that were growing and have already begun to sell. You know, Chisholm have sold some back in the summer, a little bit through the winter. Just fantastic zoysia grass. And then the TamStar to St. Augustine is remarkable for St. Augustine is the way we feel. You know, we've had it for a couple of years now, so more of that will be available for sale this year. But really good resistance to chinch bug and to gray leaf spot. So two of probably the top two pest
in St. Augustine.
In the South, and it seems that this variety just, you know, has a fair amount. When I say resistant, it's not 100%. You know, you still have to be guarded. You're still going to have to use some fungicide. You're still going to have to use, you know, protect yourself from chinch bugs, but certainly better than some of the older varieties out there. So, it was a great trip, but it's good to be home. Into the rain. Nothing like driving home in the wee hours of the morning, Friday morning, like 4 a.m.
and told you get a hotel.
And you get a flash flood advisory on your phone as you approach town and realize that it's done nothing but rain. So, well, welcome to the Yard Pros. It's a very simple format today. We'd love to hear from you. Anything related to the lawn and the landscape, we would love to discuss it with you, learn from you, help you learn or figure out some of your problems, you can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Both text line and phone lines are open, so it does make our job a little easier when we hear from you. Scott, we want to go straight to the phone lines. We have Dennis in Aiken, who's been waiting patiently, I must say, before the store or show even started. Hello, Dennis, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thanks, guys. First off, I want to thank you for what you do. I happened to stumble onto, I didn't even know you guys existed until the other day when I was surfing the Fresh Farms website and saw that you had this radio show, and I went in and listened to a couple hours of the podcast.
Awesome.
These guys know what the heck they're doing, so I need some advice. I've got 10 acres that I put all in common Bermuda.
Okay.
And I got two issues. It's split between 8 acres and 2 acres, essentially. Okay, the 8 acres, I've got a pretty good stand of Bermuda now. I put down some pre-emergent last fall, like November-ish. And I went out the other day, and I've got some very small broadleaf weeds trying to come up, some Dallas grass and a potpourri of other stuff. And my problem is I can't spray it with liquid. I got to do granule because I've got an agricultural broadcast sprayer that'll broadcast up 50 feet. And I'm wondering, when should I put down some weed killer? Or I put down some pre-emergent just the other day to protect anything else from coming up on that 8 acres. And I'm trying to figure out when's the best time to do something granularly, whatever that word is.
It tongue ties you, doesn't it?
when you get my age, anything tongue ties you. To try to, just live with them for a while and then hit them with some weed killer as the season goes on when they get big enough, because right now they're so small, even with a heavy dew or a rain, the granule is not going to stick to the leaf. Is there any granule product that actually would soak in and kill it from the root?
Dennis, there used to be, and unfortunately, the old, you notice there's a granular product now, and I'm sure you may have visited our store there in Aiken, the Carolina Fresh Farms retail store, and there's a product that they have access to. I don't know if they always keep it in stock. It's a 1906 Confront 3 with Dimension. I think they do stock the 1906 Confront 3. It's just a granular fertilizer with Confront 3 weed killer. There's a couple issues with using that right now. The problem is we're still a little bit early to push an excessive amount of nitrogen on your common Bermuda. I know it's been warm all across the state, but needless to say, these grasses are still in a state of senescence. We're beginning to see some transition, but I still feel like, and looking at the 10-14-day forecast on my phone last night, I actually noticed that in the upstate, we're going to drop back down into freezing temperatures maybe mid to late next week. So if we get a hard freeze or frost and you've already pushed excessive greening on this Bermuda grass, you potentially, I don't know, it's common Bermuda grass. It's not like it's going to completely die out, but you could cause some delaying long term to where it's fully green in the spring of the year. So I'd be a little patient. Now, the difference, the new Confront 3 formulation there's more. In essence, the chemical is going to metastasize more through the leaf tissue, which you're correct. I had spent week before last, I spent a couple of days going to some of our retail stores doing some education on pesticides for our staff. A little refresher as we get into spring of classifications and how things work. And when we get to herbicides and our post-emergent herbicides, especially for broadleaf weed control, the majority of them work through the absorption through the leaf. The leaf absorbs it, takes it into the vascular system down the root, kills the plant. The few products out there that are absorbed through the roots, unfortunately, are now restricted use. So the old original Confront used to have a lot of root activity. It's why it worked so great. Unfortunately, because it was taken up through the roots, basically it was in the soil, and that was the target where you wanted to get the product into the soil. That's where the EPA over the years has decided, hey, if if we are going to have, or if we're worried about contaminating groundwater, it normally comes from things that are in the soil or that rely on being in the soil. So those products have now, a lot of them have been listed as restricted use. They're only available to professionals who are certified as the pesticide applicator. Which is not a bad thing, you know, honestly. So unfortunately, the products that you have at hand from a granular standpoint, Scott, I really can't think of many. As a post-emergent weed control, broadleaf weed control, you're going to have damp turf in the morning and about 3 or 4 hours of dry time after the fact. So we use the wetness, the dew on the, you know, dew's pretty heavy and sticky. It dissolves the prill or the chemical off of the granular, sits on the leaf in a liquid form, then it dries, you know, and stays there for a couple hours. The leaf has time to absorb it. Within 2 or 3 hours, that's enough time typically for a leaf to absorb enough chemistry so that it can kill the weed. So if we can catch a few dry days, the Confront 3 should work to help you clean up probably 90% of your broadleaf problems. And as a matter of fact, I was going to suggest you may want to wait until we get a little bit closer to spring, maybe March, late March, early April, to use something like this because, yeah, granular does cost a little more money than spraying a liquid. So, you know, on a per square foot basis. So I think the weeds that are there today will be growing a little more actively, and then anything that may have germinated staying out in that thatch should be up high enough that you can get better control, and you can knock out, you know, fertilization and weed control all at once. Are you grazing at all on that? I mean, you're in Aiken. I know it's big horse country. Is it just an open area around the house, or is it something that you're trying to turn the horses out on?
No, I look at horses. I don't own them.
Yeah, me and you both. I think I would just be patient. You got the pre-emergent out right now, which is great. I think you're dead right on the timing on that. We were going to talk about that later in the show. Soil temperatures are still, you know, hanging out around 50, even in the Aiken market. But we get a couple sunny days, we're going to see those soil temperatures pop up pretty quick in the mid-50s, upper 50s, and probably stay there. So, you know, we're at that time of year. We need to get the pre-emergent out, which you've done. But I would be patient. If you can be patient, wait on the weed control. I think the 1906 Confront 3 is going to be your best option, and I would be patient, maybe do that towards the end of March, 1st of April.
And that's fine. I was really trying to get ahead of the curve anyway. So can we address my other issue on my 2 acres?
Sure. Let's go for it.
I didn't know if you had time or not. The 2 acres essentially surrounds the house. Most of it is irrigated, but it's also severely sloped. And with the downpours that we had in the summer and the fall and continuing on, I've developed several washout areas that I filled in, I bet, 15 times and reseeded and nothing. And it kept washing out. Finally, I woke up and got some of those 8-foot by 100-foot straw mats and put those down in the washout areas after I filled them back in yet again, and then put down some ryegrass because I did this like in October, November, because it was too late to do the Bermuda. So I've got a pretty good stand of ryegrass in those areas now, which basically are spotty all within the 2 acre. I mean, they're all over. I got little spots of, and not little spots, but I got areas of green mixed in with the dormant Bermuda, which I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to hold the soil, okay? So my question is, when I put the pre-emergent down, I made sure I did not even come close to that 2 acres with the pre-emergent the other day. Number two is, I'm assuming I'm going to overseed with Bermuda, but my question is, do I need to scratch that soil up a little bit before I broadcast the Bermuda on that 2 acres, or can I just directly overseed it and it'll take hold over a little bit of time, or should I plug it, or, you know, what should I do before I overseed? And I guess I'm supposed to overseed like late April, early May, or May, June, something like that.
Yeah, you're looking sometime in May, I would say, wouldn't you think, Scott?
In the Aiken area,
yeah, maybe 1st of May that you could go out and put some seed out, be effective with Bermuda seed. So what I would do is, first and foremost, I don't think, you know, by May, it normally gets hot enough down there that the ryegrass is going to bolt and you're going to have to bale hay in the next 2 months, I'm sure. It seems like you mow it, 3 days later, it's up where you need to mow it again. as we get up to 85 degrees during the day, that's going to subside, that top growth on the ryegrass, and it's going to begin to reach the end of its life cycle. When that happens, you can mow it down to you have nothing but stubs, but you still got that active root in the soil that's going to help solidify, hold that to keep it from washing. So I would leave it there. Then I would evaluate it, because as this bolts and you mow, you're going to get some thatch, you know, between those plants on the soil surface. The key with this Bermuda seed, we need to have it in contact with soil, not thatch. Because if we germinate it in the thatch layer and we get hot, we get warm, we don't have rain, then if it's germinating that thatch layer, it's going to dry out quicker, then you're going to have death of the seedling. So we need the seedling in the soil from day one. So I would stand, look down at my feet when you feel like you're ready to oversee this and take a look. Are you looking at thatch or are you looking at soil? If you're looking at mostly soil, I think you're fine just to go out and broadcast some Bermuda seed, maybe take a heavy roller or something like that behind it and push it down. That way, if you get a light thunderstorm, the thought is if the seed is embedded a little bit in the soil, hopefully it won't wash. But if you see a lot of thatch, I think you could either take a rake or something you can drag behind the tractor. Because I'm sure, you know, with 10 acres, I hope you have a tractor and you're not doing all this with a water buffalo or a mule. So either a blower or some type of rake that you could pull behind the tractor, I think, would suffice. When would I aerify it? You need to aerify during the growing season if it's severely compacted, meaning I can't stick a normal size screwdriver into the soil very easily. I mean, and when I say easily, if you can push it in, even if it takes strength, that's still good. It's when you feel like you need to bring the hammer out to get a screwdriver inserted into the soil 3 inches deep. If you feel like the soils are pliable enough and loose enough, I think I would hold off on my aerification until we get into June, July. Because if we aerify right before we put a Bermuda seed out and we've got these open holes that are 1 to 2 to 3 inches deep, if that Bermuda seed migrates into the bottom of that hole, it's now way too deep to germinate. You know, Bermuda seed is very small. Small seeds are to be planted very shallow. And even sitting on top of the soil, if you keep it consistently moist, it's still going to germinate, it's still going to grow. But it's a small seed, so I don't know if you could avoid some deep hole aerification prior to seeding, I think you're going to get more uniform germination in the lawn. Because my fear is with the April showers, you know, you put the seed out after you've aerified, you got these deeper holes in the lawn, we get one thunderstorm, the seed's going to migrate, wash into the bottom of the hole, and now it's going to take longer to germinate, if it germinates at all, because it's too deep.
Okay, that's great. Okay, and then my last little question is, once I put the seed down and after I roll it, should I irrigate thoroughly or just lightly to keep it wet and do 2 or 3 waterings a day for 2, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, or 1 or 2 good ones for quite a while? The problem is if I do it for a long period of time, I'm afraid I'm going to wash out some of those seedlings, because it's probably a 15-20 degree slope.
Wow, pretty steep. So Scott, it sounds to me like Dennis is like, I don't know why Dennis is even listening to the show, because I
was about to say, you've done your homework.
Yeah, I think Dennis is. So, you know, when you mentioned the 2 to 3 times a day light irrigation, that's where it's at when you're germinating seed. You know, once that seed germinates, Dennis, once it's up and it's visibly growing, you can see it. It's not going to hurt you. Go tug on a little seedling. Once you feel like it's tacked in really good, you really can't pull it up, then that's when you want to kind of slow down on this 3 to 4 day interim, and you want to go more to once a day deep watering, and then once every 2 or 3 days deep watering. So to start it 2 to 3 times a day, if you have the capability to do it, the key is keeping the seedbed consistently moist. When is it going to dry out? When's the highest dry down time during the day? In April, May, and June. That's typically going to be anywhere from about lunchtime to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're probably going to want 2 irrigation cycles, short burst of water, during that peak of the day. Maybe one on the front side in, you know, earlier to get it saturated, and then you're going to want 2 or maybe 3 during, you know, every hour, hour and a half. And when we say short burst, It could be as little as, you know, let the heads, you know, heads have a 360-degree circumference that they turn, right? So we want to what we call spin those heads, maybe where it covers, they go around two times, and that should be enough. We want just enough moisture to keep that seed bed wet.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, I thought I had a plan, but I wasn't sure. And I usually have just enough information to get myself in trouble.
It's normally the way it works. But hey, the good thing is, and I've said it for a long time, growing grass is not necessarily rocket science. Understanding chemistry and how it works is not necessarily rocket science. And that's kind of the gist of, as I talked last week with your employees in your store, Scott, that's what I explained to them. Folks, this isn't rocket science. It's a whole lot of common sense, Dennis.
And patience.
And patience. You know, a whole lot of common sense and patience. And it sounds like that's you're well on your way, that you've thought a lot of things out. So, you know, think about it. And it's kind of like I tell the boys in the Boy Scout troop, you know, think to yourself during the week, son, when you leave here, don't do anything stupid, is what I always tell them. And think to yourself when you get ready to do something, is this stupid, is it not? You know, go through the process, the thought process. Does this make sense, does it not?
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate it. And then I should wait till I see some greening on the Bermuda before I throw any nitro on it, shouldn't I?
Yes. We want to get at least 80% transition. So in your neck of the woods, we're probably looking sometime first of May, I would say. Wouldn't you think, Scott? Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I want to give a shout-out to Jason and Megan and all the people down here at this Fresh Farm store. They're really, really helpful.
We appreciate that.
And good. So I'm sorry it took so long. I'll let you get to somebody else. I appreciate it, guys.
No problem. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. Folks, you are listening to the Yard Pro Show. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. We do have Lucy on hold. Lucy, unfortunately, we're down to about 40 seconds left in the top of the hour, or to the bottom of the hour for our break, correct? So, Lucy, I hope you will hang in with us. I think it's the same Lucy who's called us multiple times, and we always adore talking to her. So we'll talk to you on the backside. In the meantime, you can continue to text us at 71307. We'll get to those texts in the second half of the show. You are tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week. It's very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here. Scott, you know, we need to tell the listeners, during the week, it's very simple. You can find us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find the link to all of our retail stores throughout South Carolina, as well as the hours, maps, email addresses to contact your store during the week if you have questions. You know, a picture says 1,000 words, right?
It does.
I mean, no doubt about it. So, Scott, without further ado, we have Lucy, who's been waiting patiently through a good portion of the show to speak to us, and we really appreciate it. She found us at 1-800-347-1063. And once we get done with Lucy, we got to get to some texts. We have a lot of texts. Hello, Lucy, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yes, good morning. My sweet husband, i.e. my yard man, has now become my Uber driver due to a little knee issue, and he doesn't want to be overworked. So I need to know, if it is too early, and if it is, when do I need to fertilize my azaleas and my knockout roses?
I think it's about that time, wouldn't
Getting
you say,
close.
Scott?
Yeah.
You know, I think you do have, Lucy, in my opinion, you know, you're in Greenville, or so it says. I think you have another month and a half. But, you know, even if you went out and did it next week, I think that's acceptable as well. So anytime from now through spring, get out there, get all the shrubbery fertilized.
Fertilized. That's what I thought. That's what I understood y'all to say earlier. Now, the other thing is my knockout roses are getting some new growth, but they're looking pretty gnarly. Can I kind of lightly trim, clean those up, or should I wait?
You say a new growth, like on one side, like a mass cluster of one growth?
Well, they're getting, like at the tops, they're getting new leaves on them. You know, they've been dormant through the winter.
Okay.
And they're already, I guess, from that warm spell we had, started getting a little bit of new growth on them, new leaves.
Okay. So it's not like one particular area where the rest of it's one side is looking not as healthy as the other side, or
no, okay. No, they're just getting like the top, but we like to keep them more like a hedge because they're along the side of the house, along the garage side of the house.
Okay.
So there's some that have some, you know, longer stalks or longer stems than others. Can I trim those now, or should I wait a while?
No, you can trim them now. But if you do it, make sure that pruner that you use, make sure you sterilize that, clean it,
right.
Disinfect it. Yes, but you'll be fine.
Right. I do the where I dip the shears in
bleach solution.
Bleach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, y'all told me to do that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Y'all are fantastic as always, and he's going to have to get out there and do a little bit more.
I knew that was coming.
But it keeps him off the streets and out of trouble. So y'all are so wonderful.
Thank you, Lucy.
You have a good weekend. Pray for sunshine.
Amen. Amen. Bye.
Bye-bye. A little sunshine would be nice.
It would be awesome.
A little sunshine right now would go a long way. There's no doubt about it. Scott, I want to get to the text line real quick. We do have Ryan on hold, so hopefully he'll hold in for just a minute because we have some that are left over of the ball cover from the first half. I had a great call there in Dennis on things to do. You know, Dennis brought up one of the big things that we need to make sure that we're doing right now, which is pre-emergent on our lawns to prevent our summer weeds. You know, quick update, we hadn't had time to do it on soil temperatures.
45?
Yeah, a little warmer than that. Current soil temperature as of last night in the upstate of South Carolina was 49. It was actually 55 in Columbia. However, the five-day average is still at 49.8. So it may hit and spike 55 at the warmest part of the day or early evening before it gets cold mm-hmm. overnight. But with the rain, the cloud cover, your five-day average is 49.8. The five-day average in upstate South Carolina is 44.8. So you still got ample time. Now, I say you got ample time. That doesn't mean, hey, procrastinate. The stores are open till noon today. If you haven't purchased your pre-emergent, your 007 prodiamine or your 1608 barricade, I would suggest you get to the store by noon today. Now, don't quit listening to the broadcast just to go to the store. You got plenty of time. We'll be off the air by 10 a.m., and that leaves you 2 hours to go to the stores today.
You can listen to it in your car.
Or listen to it in the car on the way there. But I really would urge you to get out there, get the pre-emergent, get it applied. Everybody wants to ask, you know, what about the rain? Apply it. It needs to be watered in. Don't apply it before a 2-inch thunderstorm, folks. We don't want it to float and wash away. But a nice soaking rain, it's fine. Even if, like today, with light rains here and there, if you want to go out and push the spreader in the rain, put a plastic trash bag or a cover over your hopper and go do it if you want. It's not going to hurt anything, is my point. Now, if the soils are saturated and standing in water, probably not a great idea. But get that pre-emergent out. It's very, very important. And be on the lookout for some diseases. Take All Patch in St. Augustine. Scott asked about that earlier this morning. Certainly, it's beginning to flare up, especially down around the coast. No doubt about it. So keep an eye out for that. It's very irregular shape. Some people may confuse it with large patch. A good way to tell the difference, Scott, is if you go into that center area where the grass is affected and off color, if you pull on the grass blades and they stay attached to the stolon, it's probably take-all. Because typically with large patch, with the rhizoctonia diseases, when we go pull on it, because it attacks the leaf sheath down at the bottom right where it attaches to the stolon, typically it releases those leaves just pull away from the stolons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the good thing is, whether it's take-all, whether it's large patch, if you're seeing these irregular colored shaped areas in the lawn, the good thing is fungicide, whether it's, you know, Headway's a great or product, Pillar, those products are going to work on either one of those diseases, right?
Yep.
So, but keep an eye, look out for that. That's certainly something that is going to be an issue as we continue to warm a little bit. Now, once we get really, really hot, both of them seem to go away. But as we go through this transitional period, you need to keep a lookout for that. When should I remove old yard toys so I can fix large bare spots in my lawn? I live in Greenville. Depends on the type of grass, but if you do have these large toys, that your yard toys, you know, I think back with three kids and toys in the yard, the key to those is moving them around periodically. Don't let them stay more than about a week. So every time you mow the lawn, put them in a different area. And then hopefully we don't get these bare spots. But when should I remove it? Whenever you decide you're really ready to repair the spots. If you have a warm season and it's completely dead area, you can wait for that grass to grow back in. Or here in about another month or so, you can visit one of your local stores in the upstate, pick up a couple slabs or rolls of sod and patch it that way. But the thing I want to make sure is that if you move those yard toys about once a week, it should eliminate some of this dying back underneath them. Just keep them in a rotation, find a place to put them. I have an acre that is nothing but weeds. Where do I start? Well, the first thing is if you try to control the weeds, then you're going to have an acre of bare dirt, right? So the first thing is we need to introduce some type of grass into that acre. I think we need to make a decision. Do some research. Our website, www.carolinafreshfarms.com, is a great resource of what variety of grass to help you decide what variety of grass grows on my lawn. Now, the majority of those varieties don't really have seeds available, if that makes sense. They're vegetatively propagated, our warm season grasses. Cool season, if you, for some reason you want to go down that route or you think you can because of where you live, this is not the best time to seed. But if you're in a situation where you have nothing desirable growing, if you're going to seed cool season, now's the time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say between now and the next 3 to 4 weeks. But you need to make that decision on what am I going to introduce into that lawn before I just start eradicating weeds, because we don't want you to have bare dirt. Then we run into a nasty erosion problem. So that's kind of a difficult question, but at least hopefully we got them pointed in the right way, right, Scott? If a lawn's altitude above sea level is a concern in choosing, is a lawn's altitude above sea level a concern in choosing the type of grass or yard plantings? And do you carry a big variety of non-invasive yard plants? Yeah, I mean, a lot of the nursery now, the invasive plant species, you know, there's some things out there still that are planted. Ground covers, things like that can be invasive. I mean, heck, liriope, monkey grass, yeah, to me is invasive. Now, as far as the altitude, yeah, the altitude plays into effect without a doubt, shadow of a doubt. Especially not so much the altitude, hey, I live 200 foot above sea level, and I, you know, in our state, you know, 200 foot above sea level is probably going to be about two counties inland from the coast. Where altitude really comes into play, I think, in the state of South Carolina is when you live in the upstate counties, you know, Greenville, Oconee, Pickens, counties, those counties, that little western section of South Carolina, where you may be typically the cities are around 1,000 foot of elevation, but you may live up the mountain, like in Greenville County, where you could go up to 2,000 plus foot of elevation up around the Cliffs communities. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that plays a big thing. But the big thing that really plays on selecting this is looking at the USDA zone maps. You can Google USDA planting zones. We are, what, zone 7, 8, and 9, I believe, in the state of South Carolina, if I remember correctly. The extreme coastal areas, I think, gets into a zone 9. So take a look at those USDA zone maps. Map your plants into the zone that you live in. So depending on where you are in the state as to what zone you USDA zone you're attached to. Hey, guys, I'm tuning in late today, so you may have answered this, but I have centipede lawn with a bunch of green weeds. What can I use or when it stops raining to kill the stuff without hurting the centipede? Scott, one of the most well-known products on centipedes probably Image to this day. And Image cleans up a lot of different weeds in the lawn. However, it says on the label we don't advise using, because it says on the label, which is law, we don't advise using this product during transition. We are kind of quickly, if not already in transition in certain areas in the state, we're quickly approaching transition. So if you got centipede and you got weeds present and you're looking for a post-emergent, you need to be patient until May. You need to wait until May to really think about post-emergent on centipede. Now, as far as preventative goes a long way, pre-emergent. Now is the time with that centipede lawn, just like any other lawn, I don't care what lawn it is. Now is the time to get that pre-emergent out, right?
Right.
So, Mike and Emman, I have a centipede and want to know when to spread headway to protect it from brown patch. I think I just missed your comments on that. So, brown patch is really going to happen when we get much warmer, when we stay warm and muggy at night, okay? Brown patch can affect centipede. Brown patch really affects more nothing but cool season in the state of South Carolina. But we do see some effects of brown patch on other plants. Now, I do think sometimes brown patch gets misdiagnosed on St. Augustine, because I know some people have St. Augustine. Well, I get brown patch in summer. No, I think you may have some cooler temperatures, cloud cover, and you may see take-all patch, which is a different genus of disease that's causing you those fits. But nonetheless, if you did something in the fall for rhizoc, which is large patch, the cool season large patch, or some people call it cool season brown patch. If you did some applications in the fall, you should be fine now. If you didn't, it may be warranted to do some headway, but I believe I would wait for something like rhizoc. I believe I would wait just a couple more weeks before I think about getting into spreading some fungicides. What say you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, as far as diseases right now on other areas, there's been a lot of weird things like curvillaria, things like that, Scott, that have been going around. A lot of that is saprophytic. It's superficial. It's feeding on the dead leaf tissue from the dormant plant sloughing last year's growth, okay? We get this warmer temperature. We have all this really moisture-laden soils, okay? We get these continual days of rain and cloud cover, but we have these milder temperatures, and we're seeing this disease, this saprophytic disease. I went into a neighborhood earlier this week. I believe it was actually Wednesday morning before I flew to Dallas. I had to drive into a neighborhood that is a Palisade Zoysia neighborhood, and it looks like when it's dry, it looks like black spots. When it gets wet, it looks like darker brown spots on the lawn. That is superficial, shouldn't cause any irreparable damage to the health of the plant overall. It's just something unsightly you're going to have to look at. As we begin to warm and transition on a dry day, a lot of times you can just take your mower, you should be doing it anyway, dropping your mowing height just a little bit prior to or just at transition to get some of that old decaying matter out of the lawn. A lot of times you can just mow it off and it'll disappear. So I don't think it really warrants running out and doing a foliar fungicide is my point. At this point. So, you know, hey, I know everybody's getting antsy. It's approaching spring, right? Mild temperatures. Everybody's getting excited about the yards, but let's not forget, it's still dormant. It's still winter. It's still February. We could have another snow. You know, what did I hear? They had snow in California overnight, like in Southern California. So that's interesting. It snowed in Las Vegas this week. Yeah, I saw what's the casino that's a pyramid? Is that the Mirage? Yep. I saw a picture online with the Mirage with snow on top of it. It's kind of interesting. It's like you never get to see that. So we're apt to have a snowfall. Never know. Scott, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Ron in Taylor's. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you, and now I have more questions. I've got a section of Bermuda I put down, and, you know, it's just one sheet. But it's got the little white spots on it, about 2 to 3 inch diameter. What's that? You know, and there's about 10 of them on one sheet of that stuff. I don't know. I forget what you call it. One roll where I put it down last summer.
It's on Bermuda?
Yeah.
Okay. That is hold on. It just left me, Scott. We know what it is. I told you about it, 3-4 weeks ago. It's a superficial, basically a leaf spot is what's going on. Okay?
You just said it.
No, it's not curvillaria.
Oh.
I just, you know, had a lapse in judgment or brain here.
Hey, we're buds, man. That's all the time.
So
if it's just superficial, then I'm not going to be too concerned about it. But I heard y'all talking about pre-emergent, putting that down now.
Yes.
Did I hear that?
Yes, that is correct.
I gotta start looking at my book more. Okay, so I need to get that down. And we got what? Barricade, and what's the other one?
Well, prodiamine, which is the same thing as barricade. That's the active ingredient. The other that you may be referring to, Ron, is dimension. You know, if it depends on the weed species and the lawn that have been a nuisance, you know, really in the spring, prodiamine seems to be just A-okay for everything.
Yeah.
Or dimension. Or barricade. Prodiamine or barricade. The barricade being the trade name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll have to see what I have in the shed because I might do that now. It looks like it's a good day to do it.
Yes.
We're just misting out here now. It's not a heavy rain or anything.
Yeah, without a doubt. But, yeah, as far as the white spots in your Bermuda, gosh, you know, it's not a curval area. I'm trying to remember.
Two or 3 weeks ago.
Keep listening here in a minute. I'm sure it'll hit me. You know, that's what happens when you start getting some age on you, Ron. You just you know what it is, but you can't remember, and all of a sudden it just hits you.
And it hits you as soon as you leave the area where you wanted to be talking about.
Exactly.
Or the person you want to be talking to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But needless to say, it is a lot of these little diseases you're seeing now on dormant turf where you're seeing a little discoloration of the dormant leaf. A lot of that is merely superficial due to our weather patterns. So be patient. You'll see a lot of things begin to green up and change as we get warmer and hopefully get some sunlight.
Okay.
All right,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
See you, Ron. Have a good one.
See ya.
All right, Scott, I want to get back to the text lines here. We do have a few that came in. It's a busy day, man. Everybody's thinking about gardening, you know. Everybody's thinking about gardening. So, hello, I have 10 Leland cypress that all came down with blight last year, about one-third damage to each tree. I have heavily sprayed last September. I thought it may be too late, but I was desperate. Any chance they'll recover, and when should I spray again this year? Jan and Greer. As we begin to warm, keep a lookout if you begin to see that blight. Now, I will say a later spray in the season sometimes can be very beneficial, very beneficial. So you may see that you've kind of slowed that down, but as we begin really to get warm and muggy at night and stay in those 70-degree ranges, you may see that blight begin to come back a little bit. And if you do, then that's when you want to apply something again. But I think for the most part, you might be pleasantly surprised, even a September application, of how well it's done, because we were very warm through fall of the year. So you may have got a lot more out of that fungicide application than you realize. Mm-hmm. Only time will tell. Mike and Inman, I have a sense of that was about the headway we did that one. Question for the yard guys. How do I save my knockout roses? I think it has Rosetta disease. Scott, you have dealt with that quite a bit over the years, or talked about it. I mean, Rose Rosetta, man, that's a tough one. It's just, I feel like you can do some things to prolong the life of the plant.
That's about it.
But I think it's once you get it, you always have it, and eventually the solution, unfortunately, is to take those plants out of the landscape.
And the worst thing, I mean, it's airborne.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you get it on one, we get the rains that we're getting like now, it splashes to the other. The cleaning the pruners is a
that's,
big one.
That's
when
key.
You're even if you don't have it, you say, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to go prune my knockouts. No, make sure you disinfect from plant to plant. I don't know if it's so necessary on every cut on that one plant to disinfect. You tell me, Scott, but I would definitely, at the minimum, disinfect my pruners when I go from plant A to plant B or plant 1 to plant 2.
And that disease, I mean, it looks like a creature. I mean, it's
a malformation of the cellular structure,
and
it malforms the plant. Scott, we are backed up to we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, but we have Dave and Greer, who also has a question about the knockouts, I believe. Hello, Dave, and welcome to the Yard Pros.
No, what? My rose has the Rosette's disease, and I just want to know if there's anything I can do to save it. Plus, they said that you won't be able to plant roses there in the future. Is that true?
Typically, when we get a disease like that, the suggestion is to rotate to a different crop. Now, I'm not an expert at Rose Rosetta. I do know this. is when you prune, and we just talked about that, make sure that when you go from one plant to another plant, at a bare minimum, we need you to disinfect those pruners so you don't carry it from plant A that's infected over to plant B that's non-affected. I'm of the type, if I've got eight knockout roses planted together in a mass and one of them gets Rose Rosetta, I'm of the type that I would probably go ahead and pull the one infected plant out, get it off premise, or burn it, do something to get rid of it so it's not on your property, and with the hopes that I can prolong the inoculation of the plant beside it.
My plants in the backyard have it and have spread from plant to plant, but the ones in the front yard do not. I use bleach on my cutting tool.
Which works great as a disinfectant. So my thoughts would be, even though the ones in the front don't have it yet, but you know you got the ones infected in the back, I would be of the type, Dave, that I would probably go ahead this spring and think of something different I could do landscape there and maybe go ahead and remove those. I mean, how many knockout roses do you have in the back?
I've got six.
Six?
I had eight.
Yeah. So I'd probably go ahead and remove those in the backyard, get them off of the property and do something different, and then hopefully that will prolong the inoculation on the ones in the front yard.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Yes, sir, you too.
All right, bye-bye. Scott, been a great show.
It was.
You can tell everybody's getting antsy.
I am.
About the impending spring, which is going to come at some point, right?
I'm just antsy about sunlight.
You have been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show today. It has been an absolute delight to talk with you, and we certainly do enjoy our participants as we do every week. You can find us during the week. It's very simple, www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our store locations in the state of South Carolina, as Dennis told us in the first part of the show, you can find a link to our podcast. Tune us in during the week. We'll talk to you next week.